This is The Session, a weekly preview of the policy simmering inside the 67th session of the Montana Legislature. I'm Shaylee Rager. I cover the State House for Montana Public Radio.
I'm Kevin Trevelin. I cover the State House for Yellowstone Public Radio, and I'm a Report for America Fellow.
And I'm Mara Silvers. I cover the State House for Montana Free Press.
It's week 13 of the session. 1,237 bills have been introduced. At least 74 have been signed into law. And it's the time of the session when more are on the way. This week, we're watching the legal marijuana bill take shape. Lawmakers consider the former governor's district court judge nominees and proposals to change elections in the state. Mara, to kick things off, the Senate Judiciary Committee held hearings last week to consider three district court judge nominees that former Democratic Governor Steve Bullock appointed. This week, we expect the committee to vote on whether to advance those nominations. Can you talk us through what the implication of that will be?
Yeah, so these have been three nominations that a lot of people have been waiting to see before the Senate Judiciary Committee, because just a couple of weeks ago, the legislature passed a bill and Gianforte signed it into law that would redo the way vacancies on district courts and the Supreme Court are filled. So previously, these judges were vetted and selected through the Judicial Nomination Commission and then appointed off of a short list by former Governor Steve Bullock. So under the new law, SB 140, the governor can directly appoint judges to fill vacancies and then have those nominees get confirmed by the Senate. So if these judges aren't confirmed by the Senate, Governor Gianforte will have the opportunity to flex this new power by appointing directly three new judicial nominees to fill these seats.
Who are these nominees, Mara?
The first one is Michelle Reinhart Levine. She's currently serving in the 8th Judicial District up in Cascade County. There's also Chris Abbott, who's in the 1st Judicial District, which covers Lewis and Clark in Broadwater County, and Peter Oman, who's in the 18th Judicial District over in Gallatin County. So all three of those judges were appointed in the fall, in October and November, and they've been serving in those roles for a couple of months already. If they are confirmed, they'll continue to serve out the duration of the term for which they're filling, and then all three would be subject to reelection if they want to continue on in those roles.
How did their hearings go?
Yeah, so they were really interesting to watch because most of the people who were speaking at those confirmation hearings had nothing but good things to say about all of these judges. Some of the people who spoke in favor were their current colleagues, other judges who serve in those districts. There's also many people who worked with them previously, either at the state or in their private practices. But not all of them had smooth sailing when it came to questions from the committee members, specifically Judge Reinhart Levine, who used to be a Democratic lawmaker in 2007 through 2011. She faced quite a few tough questions from some of the Republicans on the committee who really questioned whether or not she could be trusted as a nonpartisan, apolitical figure after having previously been in a partisan role. And Judge Levine said pretty candidly that even though she had previously served in partisan roles and been involved with progressive organizations, she understands now, after having gone to law school and working as an attorney for several years, that her role is nonpartisan and she can be trusted in this capacity. But it presents an interesting dynamic. If any of these nominees are not confirmed, it may very well be because some of the Republicans on the committee took issue with something in their professional past.
Mara, there's another component to this. We have already seen a challenge to the bill that would give Governor Gianforte the ability to appoint directly to these vacancies. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, so soon after Governor Gianforte signed Senate Bill 140 into law, it was challenged by a bipartisan group of former state officials. Some of them are former lawmakers, and some of them were even present at the Constitutional Convention in 1972. And this group of people, including the League of Women Voters, said that the bill is unconstitutional based on the intention of the delegates when they created the separation of power for who gets to appoint judges to vacancies. So that lawsuit is winding its way through the courts. The Gianforte administration has said that even a simple reading of the Constitution makes it clear that this law is constitutional. But of course, that's going to be up to the courts.
Shaylee, switching gears a little bit, we're also still waiting to see the recreational marijuana bill get a hearing. What's the status of that legislation?
The House Business and Labor Committee held an informal work session last week to go over the latest draft of the bill, which is kind of abnormal. The bill itself is meant to be all-encompassing. It'll include regulations for selling and possessing weed and directing where revenue from taxing the sales of it will go. So Representative Mark Noland, chair of the House Business and Labor Committee, said that he's seen three different drafts of this roughly 360-page bill so far, and he wanted committee members to get a jump on understanding what the bill does before it has a hearing.
The intent is so that when we have the big bill, when he presents it Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, we'll have good questions, we'll already have it, because we're under time crunch. So this is not the normal process, but I didn't see a really good way to do it.
So lawmakers had a preview work session, which we don't see very often. How did the meeting go?
Watching the meeting unfold, it was pretty clear that lawmakers don't have a good grasp yet on how this policy will work. They had tons of questions and concerns about what the bill will look like in action. Lawmakers expressed concerns about how law enforcement should deal with consumers carrying marijuana in their vehicles, how the state might root out people violating regulations of the recreational marijuana program, and how new restrictions might affect the medical marijuana program. It's worth noting here that Democratic Senator Diane Sands brought a bill last session in 2019 that would have had lawmakers study implementing recreational marijuana over the last 2 years, but that proposal was voted down.
That's the regulation side of things. Mara, Governor Gianforte has his own idea for how sales tax revenue for marijuana should be spent on drug treatment programs, but lawmakers haven't thrown their full support behind that. You think there's a compromise on the table?
Yeah, so this has to do with what Governor Gianforte has been calling the HEART program, which is healing and ending addiction through recovery and treatment. And it's basically a program that would funnel some revenue from recreational marijuana to substance use treatment and prevention programs across the board. It would also be supplemented with funds, some special revenue funds from other areas. So the executive's proposal for the HEART program was not supported by lawmakers throughout the budget making process. That could change, but there is a bit of explanation through how that HEART fund is going to be established in the recreational marijuana bill draft that lawmakers have been looking at.
Marijuana is obviously a big deal in the legislature right now, but lawmakers have also prioritized changing the rules for how people vote. Kevin, can you tell us what happened in that area last week?
Yeah, so there's a handful of bills at various stages in the legislative process that Republican lawmakers say are necessary to bolster security and in some cases streamline the electoral process in Montana. In other words, they say some of these bills will actually make it easier for counties to hold elections. Three controversial policies that saw movement last week would alter polling place hour requirements and same-day voter registration and limit absentee ballot collection in Montana. That last bill is similar to the Ballot Interference Prevention Act, which was approved by voters in 2018 but struck down in court last year because a judge said it depressed voter turnout without actually improving election security, and a bill to tighten voter ID requirements so that a college ID by itself wouldn't be acceptable to register or vote, for example, also passed the House largely along party lines last week. That bill was requested by first-term Republican Secretary of State Christy Jacobson, who made election security a major talking point on the campaign trail last year. On the House floor, Republican Representative Brad Chita said laws like this are needed to protect one of the most fundamental rights Montanans exercise.
In some ways, I have difficulty with this bill because I don't think it goes far enough, but we need to support these kinds of bills because they do ensure the integrity of the vote.
What kind of opposition are we seeing to these bills?
So Representative Geraldine Custer, known as a moderate in her caucus, was the only Republican to vote against the voter ID bill, saying it would potentially open the state to a lawsuit at taxpayers' expense. Meanwhile, Democrats point out that elections administrators really haven't ever found voter fraud in Montana. They say these bills amount to voter suppression, particularly attacking indigenous, low-income, and disabled voters, among others. Here's Democratic Representative Jessica Cargiola on the House floor last week.
This bill puts barriers in front of people that basically would end up being too poor or too elderly to vote. We shouldn't be in the business of means testing and ableism testing the ballot box.
Most of these bills are moving forward, including along party lines in a lot of cases, so it shouldn't be too long before they're on Governor Gianforte's desk.
That's lots to watch. Thanks for walking us through that, Kevin. Before we go, Democratic Representative Jonathan Windyboy's bill that we talked about on the last episode of the session that would direct some recreational marijuana tax revenue to tribes was shot down in committee last week, as he predicted. Several bills that would restrict access to abortion in Montana have passed out of both chambers of the legislature and are waiting to land on Gianforte's desk. There's one other bill along those lines that is still making its way through the process. Finally, one more lawmaker tested positive for COVID-19 last week. Their identity was not released, but it was the sixth lawmaker that we know of who has contracted COVID-19 this session. There have been several vaccine clinics that have been held in the Capitol, so we are seeing more lawmakers and staff getting vaccinated. Mara, Kevin, thanks so much for being on this week.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
This has been The Session, a weekly preview of the action at the Montana State House during the 2021 legislative session. From Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio, thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Corin Cades Carney. I'm the news director at Montana Public Radio, and I produce every other episode of The Session. If you've enjoyed the show, it'd be great to hear from you. Leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts and help us spread the word. Thanks.